Hey, hello everyone. I'm Marcia Henry. I'm the director of the Center for Women, Peace, and Security here at LSE, and I'm really glad to see everybody here and welcome you all for tonight's event, A Feminist Perspective on the Syrian Political Process, Return of Displaced Syrians, Reconstruction, and an Engendered Constitution. So we're going to have a few comments from the speakers, and we're going to have a little bit of translation, so please bear with us as we're going to have speakers speak for one and a half minutes and then have a translation, and so we'll go back and forth a little bit. And so today we have Weshdan Nassif, who is a co-founding member of the Syrian Women's Political Movement, the SWPM. Since 2015, she has been a member of the follow-up committee of the Syrian Women's Network, and additionally, Weshdan is an accomplished author, having published several original works, including Lettres de Syrie and A Vau Lo. Okay, so Khaled Mansour is also a co-founding member and a researcher and consultant from Syria. Her work spans across humanitarian and development responses, the UN system, women's political participation, civil society, refugees and migration, and transitional justice. And she has published and worked as a senior consultant for leading think tanks, UN agencies, and international organizations such as Chatham House, Overseas Development Institute, and Dan Church Aid. Lina Wafai is a co-founder of the Syrian Women's Political Movement as well. Lina participates in Mwatane, and was a member of the Syrian Women's Initiative for Peace and Democracy, a UN and SWN collaboration. And after being wrongfully dismissed from her job in 2006, because she was a signatory to the Beirut-Damascus Declaration, Lina opened a private engineering practice from 2007 to 2013. We also have Nawara Mahfoud, who is going to do translation for us. So please join me in thanking Nawara for doing some of this important work that we need to do today. So we're going to have individual presentations, and then after that, we're going to open up for Q&A. So please join me in welcoming our speakers today.
Thank you very much. شكراً شكراً لحضوركم. فعلاً بيسعدنا اليوم إنه نكون معكم بهذا المكان اللي إله رمزية. يعني هو مكان كنت عم أقول صديقتنا هنا بالطريقة هي عم تشرح لنا عن هاي الأبنية ثلاثة إنه هي سميت بأسماء نساء نسويات عملوا من أجل حقوق النساء ببريطانيا، إنه نحن بسوريا عنا حلم إنه بيوم الأيام يعني يكون عنا مبنى أو يعني صرح باسم النساء، لأنه نساء سوريات حقا عن جد يستحقوا كل احترام، وهن نساء عظيمات. وهلأ من خلال هلأ الشيء اللي رح نطلعكم عليه رح تكتشفوا قديش هن نساء عظيمات.
First of all, I'd like to thank all of you for attending the talk today. We're glad that you all took the time to come here and listen to what we have to say to you. But first of all, I would like to say that I'm very aware of the symbolism of the building we're sat in. When we walked here, our hosts were talking to us about these three buildings were named after the suffragettes who fought for women to have the right to vote in this country. And I said, I have a dream that one day Syrian women would be honored, that would we see buildings holding the names of influential Syrian women who were part of what the women have already endured in Syria is beyond imagination, deserves all the respect, and we hope that what we tell you today about their work, about what they went through, would make you share our opinion of the Syrian woman as well.
نحن اليوم لا نطلق أوراق هي أوراق سياسية سميناها هي ثمرة عمل طويل الأمد وثمرة عمل فريق من النساء السوريات خارج سوريا وداخل سوريا.
We are here to launch papers that are the results of consultations with women groups. This is the result of collaboration of women inside Syria and outside Syria as well.
So as I consider myself a storyteller, so I'll tell you a brief story of those papers. أعتقد إنه حكاية الأوراق كمان مهمة مثل الأوراق.
I believe that the story behind the work, the collaboration to reach these papers is as important as the findings you will read in these papers as well.
منذ تأسست الحركة السياسية النسوية بتشرين أول 2017 استقطبت فعلا نساء من الداخل السوري. وليش استقطبت نساء من الداخل السوري هو سؤال كتير مهم وأنا برأيي أنه إجابته كتير كمان مهمة.
Since the beginning or the establishment of the movement in November 2017, we gained a lot of support from women and who joined our ranks, women from inside Syria. And the question of why we managed to get this support, cultivate this support inside Syria, is very important. And the answer to it.
لن أدخل في هذا السؤال وفي جوابه لأنه رح يأخذ وقت لكن ممكن أنه نتطرق له إذا صار معنا وقت إذا ظل معنا وقت في نهاية حديثنا. رح أرجع لموضوعي أنه نحن في بداية تكوين أو تشكيل الحركة السياسية النسوية ومباشرة بعد أشهر قليلة من انطلاقها بلشنا صار نتواصل مع نساء بالداخل السوري وكان عندنا هدفين. الهدف الأول هو أنه مد جسور التواصل بين النساء السوريات في داخل سوريا وفي خارجها، والهدف الثاني هو مد جسور التواصل بين النساء السوريات داخل سوريا لأنه سوريا مثل ما بتعرفوا مقطعة الأوصال وسوريا أصبحت فعلا مدن غريبة كل يوم عم تصير غريبة أكثر وأكثر عن بعضها.
I won't get into the details of the question I raised, which was why we managed to gain so much support inside Syria. I hope time would allow me to revisit this point at the end of the talk. But right now, I just want to say to you, right from the beginning of the establishment of the Syrian women, our movement working with women inside Syria, we started trying to reach out and build networks with women inside and outside the country at the moment, but also. So we had two aims. One was networking between women inside and outside. The other was building networks between women inside the country. Because if you know about Syria, as anyone who reads and follows up on Syria, you know that the country at the moment is divided into different areas where people can't easily travel between each other and there. And the cities are being estranged from one another more and more as this war intensifies.
بدأنا باجتماعات سكايب وما بعرف إذا رح يكون عندي فرصة أني أحكي لكم قديش نحن عنا تحديات وقديش صادفتنا فعلا عوائق كبيرة بالتواصل. ما بعرف إذا بتعرفوا عن وضع السوري إنه نحن التواصل مع الداخل السوري كتير صعب، خاصة بغياب معظم الأحيان غياب وسائل التواصل، انقطاع الكهرباء، الإنترنت، عدم وجود مكان آمن للتواصل في مناطق سيطرة النظام. هو الخوف أصلاً من التواصل مع المعارضين بالخارج لأنه عقوبتها بتكون كبيرة. من المناطق اللي خارج سيطرة النظام، الدمار والحرب والقصف اللي بيطال هاي المناطق كلها نحن واجهتنا كتير عوائق، ولكن يعني بكل فخر يعني نحن قدرنا نتجاوزها بمعظمها ورح نكفي.
We started the only means for us to create these networks was Skype meetings with all and different parties involved in it. I don't have the chance to go into details of the challenges we faced, but I just wanted to give you an idea of the challenges in regime-controlled areas, it was difficult for the women to want to talk to people who are known to be opposition members who are outside the country. That in itself is a challenge for them. Consequences, they face consequences from the regime as a result. For the areas outside the regime control, there's war. There is a massive war, a massive scale destruction, a very intense war, a massive scale of destruction. At many times, people were under bombardment when we had to talk to them. So I'm very proud that we managed to achieve all these all these consultations and bring you these papers that we put in front of you today.
ببداية لقاءاتنا على سكايب مع النساء مجموعات نساء داخل سوريا احنا بدأنا بعرض وشرح او الحوار حول بعض المفاهيم النسوية يعني حول النسوية والجندر وأهمية المشاركة السياسية.
At the beginning in our meetings and consultation on Skype, when we worked with women inside Syria, we started by explaining or discussing with them the concepts of gender and gender equality and feminism.
ولكن يعني اكتشفنا انه ما فينا نوقف فقط هون، نحن بحاجة فعلا كان لانه نحكي بنبلش نحكي بالسياسي. نحن كان بالحركة السياسية النسوية نحن ناس معظمنا جايين من خلفيات سياسية، ركمنا خبرات، عنا تخصصات مختلفة، وبالداخل السوري فعلا 8 سنوات من المعاناة خلقت من النساء يعني فعلا نساء قويات ونساء متعطشات ونساء فعلا يعني يطمحنا أنه يكون لهم مكان بالمشاركة السياسية بسوريا.
Soon after the first few sessions, we realized that we cannot stop at the limit of discussing concepts of gender and equality and feminism. We needed to discuss politics and life on the ground. A majority of the founding members of the movement are political activists. We have years of activism or being involved in politics, and we found that the women inside Syria, 8 years of war and the suffering that the war brought, made them incredibly resilient, unbelievably strong, and really eager to participate and make their opinion heard about their future.
وهيك تحول هاي الجلسات وهاي اللقاءات تحولت فعلا لمشروع، ويعني بنشكر طبعا بدعم من ويلف، بشكرهن عميق الشكر انه هني فعلا تحول هذا المشروع وصار تحقق على ارض الواقع في شهر كانون اول 2018.
And little by little, these consultation sessions developed into a full project that we are working on. And we started working with the only reason we managed to achieve this project is the support of WELP. We thank him very much for all their support, and that we were able to launch the project in partnership and with their support in January 2018.
منذ البداية يعني نحن قررنا أنه حواراتنا تكون فعلا من أجل أنه تأخذ يعني توصل لأهدافها، لازم أن نركز على مواضيع محددة، وكان في 3 مواضيع مهمة جدا بالنسبة لنا، ومنشوفنا حتى أنه العالم بالنسبة للمجتمع الدولي وحتى لأصدقائنا وين مكان يعني بكل أنحاء العالم، هني مواضيع كتير مهمة. هني موضوع العملية الدستورية والإصلاح الدستوري اللي هلأ عم بيصير أو عم بيجرى الحديث عنه أو عم بيتم هلأ في يعني بالوقت الحالي، هلأ ممكن تكون شوي معطل لكن هذا موضوع كتير مهم. وفي عنا الموضوع الثاني هو موضوع عودة اللاجئين، والموضوع الثالث هو إعادة الإعمار.
We decided based on dialogues with all involved parties that, and for us to achieve our goals that we set as a movement, that we need to focus on certain subjects and certain themes that are relevant to the international community and its debate about Syria and the condition on the ground in Syria. Many of our friends said that who we are in contact with said that these are vital issues as well in the debate about Syria. So the three issues we decided to cover is the constitution. There is a suggested constitutional writing up of a new constitution about Syria for the transitional period. It has been discussed widely. Right now, maybe the discussion has been stopped for a while, but it continues to be a very important subject, and we worked on it a lot. The second theme we worked on is the repatriation of the refugees, or the return of the refugees as well. And the third one is the reconstruction.
رح أحكي شوية هلأ عن موضوع الدستور. يعني بداية موضوع الدستور, نحن بنعرف إنه العملية الدستورية هي فعلا جرت ب, أو هلأ الموضوع اللي ممكن نسميه إصلاح الدستور أو دستور جديد, هو عم يعني بيصير بغرف مغلقة, غرف المجتمع الدولي وللدول بتهميش. يعني هو ليس قرار شعبي سوري.
I'm gonna start I'm going to start talking about the constitution. When we talk about the constitutional the debate about the constitution, the constitutional process that's the reform taking of the constitution that's being discussed at the moment, this is happening behind closed doors. The international community and its actors who are involved in the situation in Syria are the one who are steering the debate about the constitution, the future constitution of Syria. There is no involvement of the popular base of Syria in the decision making concerning the constitution.
في كانون ديسمبر 2018 بدأنا عمليا بأنه نحكي عن موضوع الدستور واللجنة الدستورية, ولحسن حظنا نحن فعلا بالحركة السياسية النسوية عندنا زميلات مشاركات بهاي اللجنة الدستورية.
In December 2018, we started the debate, discussion about the constitution and the constitutional committee that's working. And we are very lucky in the movement that we have, with some of our members are participants as well in the committee that's working on the constitution.
عقدنا 8 لقاءات مع نساء مجموعات, نساء 8 مجموعات من النساء السوريات, 5 مجموعات في مناطق خارج عن سيطرة النظام, مجموعتين في مناطق تحت سيطرة النظام, ومجموعة في دول الجوار.
We had consultations with 8 groups, women groups. 5 of these groups are in areas that are outside the control of the Syrian regime. 2 are of areas that are still or under the control of the regime, and 1 is in a neighboring country. One group, consultation group, was in neighboring country.
حابة أحكي شغلي إنه الجلسات حول الدستور مدتها 4 ساعات. حقيقة كان تاخذ معنا 5 ساعات, وأنا في بتذكر في جلسات أخذت أكثر من 5 ساعات. النقاش كان فعلا بالنسبة لنا مفاجئ جدا. النساء السوريات اللي بيحملوا هذا الوعي الفطري النسوي عن حقوقهم وعن كيف ممكن يكون الدستور اللي بيحلموا فيه, والدستور اللي يكون حساس الجندر ويضمن كل حقوقهم, هذا كان بالنسبة لنا أمر مدهش يخلينا فعلا نقضي 5 ساعات من دون ما نحس أبدا بأنه نحن يعني بتعب بهذا الوقت.
أربع ساعات
نحن لأننا نقعد أكثر.
I'd like to share some of our experiences with you. Every session we ran of these consultations was scheduled to be 4 hours long. Yet we never finished in 4 hours. The conversation was so vivid that sometimes we had 5 hours, sometimes we had 5.5 hours, or even more. The debate was very surprising for us, and we were very proud of how rich it was, because we realized how innate the feminist awareness of the of Syrian women is for them, and how brilliant they were about it. They knew what kind of constitution they want, and they knew how this constitution should be sensitive for gender and equality, and involving or guaranteeing all their rights.
يعني شارك بجلسات 125 امرأة، وفي بداية جلسات يعني قبلنا أنه شارك رجال طبعا، بعدين من المواضيع الثانية نحن لأسباب مختلفة لا يمكن ذكرها هلأ يعني منعنا الرجال يشاركوا.
So in total we have 125 women participating. At the beginning we offered men the opportunity to participate, but then later we revised that decision. I'm not going to go into the details of why we banned men, but we did eventually, and it was women only consultation.
في الأوراق السياسية اللي حصلنا عليها بالنهاية طبعا بالاستعانة مع ناس متخصصين و كان تشكل فعلا لدينا شيء ممكن نسميه مانيفيستو حقوقي للنساء. وفعلا اليوم الحركة السياسية النسوية يعني أنا بعتقد أنه أكثر شغلي ممكن أنه إحنا نفخر فيها، أنه إحنا نسجل بتاريخ سوريا أنه إحنا قدرنا نكتب أو نصيغ، ممكن تكون مانيفيستو ممكن تكون مسودي، ما في مشكلة إذا توضعنا شوية مسودي لمانيفيستو، نتمنى أنه فعلا يكون حقيقي ويصير على أرض الواقع ويكون له صدى. ورح بعتقد أنه الأوراق رح تكون متناولكم. أنا كتير يمكن أطلت فمشان أعطي الدور لغيري، ممكن تفضل خلود تحكي عن الورقة الثانية. شكرا لكم.
Okay. So we ended up, as a result of this part of this consultation session, we ended up with the papers we're going to be presenting you with. We're launching here as our effort, result of our effort. These were written in collaboration with specialists as well. And we're proud to say that we believe we are presenting you with a legal manifesto or manifesto actually that enshrines women rights and protects it more. I'm proud, we in the movement are proud to say that this is a first in the history of Syria that women presented a blueprint of a manifesto, if we want to be more humbled rather than just calling it a manifesto, a blueprint of a manifesto, and that reflects the reality on the ground, and that will be effective on the ground, and hopefully will be well received by all of you. And now my colleague.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for organizing this on a very short notice, and thank you everyone for coming. I'm very humbled, actually, and very proud to be sharing this panel with Lina and Wujdan, two inspiring and amazing women. So I'm really proud that I'm sharing this panel with them. Before I start, because I'm gonna just give a brief about the main findings from the paper on the return of the displaced Syrians, I would like to say two notes on methodology and just complementing what Wujdan was talking about the four-hour session every single time that was extended. And actually, being researcher myself, I always have this ethical weight when I do the field research interviewing people, like what could I offer them? And it's interviews are always extractive. They are always draining. It feels like you are milking the brains of the refugees and the displaced people and the informants. And it's always feel ethically that you feel very responsible to actually need to provide them with something. So these sessions, especially in the second part of those 4 hours, we were actually engaging in a discussion with the women inside Syria. And first to not only to take the information from them, but also to provide them with the information and trying to cover any gap in their knowledge, because as Wujdan said, they were very curious, they really wanted to know a lot of things, and they were eager to expand their knowledge. So first that was really a rewarding thing thing, not only to hear and take information from them, but also to engage with them and provide them with. Little did we know that we would actually be the ones learning from the women, especially inside Syria. We thought that we will give them information, but we kept telling each other that every time we speak to them, we actually learned from them. It wasn't the other way. So that was very, very rewarding work. And somehow we got obsessed about this work. As Wajdan said, like we were supposed to stay in every session for 4 hours, but we were sometimes staying for much longer. And that also provided the Syrian women who are going through very, very difficult situation with this safe political space where they can actually discuss politics. And we were very surprised by their innate political awareness and that from their daily struggle, they learned a lot and they were politically very much engaged. So that was a very safe political space for them to engage in discussing certain topics. In addition, it was very rewarding to see the development that the women, between the first session that was a very research-based focus group discussions, very detailed research questions, and then we jumped in the second part, and we do engage with them in discussions, and that was very rewarding to see how they develop sometimes in the same session, and how they develop their ideas, and they also engage with each other. They do engage with each other. So that was a very good thing that we are really proud about when listening to their first-hand experience. Moving to the paper on the return, because of this international attention, especially after the Russian initiative last year on the return of the Syrian refugees, when we started to discuss with them the return of the refugees, they told us, what about us, the internally displaced? Because if you go to the literature, you would find a lot of literature about the return of the Syrian refugees, especially from the neighboring countries. There are a huge amount of literature by all the international organizations, by the UN, by the think tanks. Everyone wants to talk about the return of the Syrian refugees from the neighboring countries. And then we were really surprised, that's so true. Internally displaced people, their concerns, their priorities, their needs, no one is actually addressing them. So that was very one of the key findings, is to have this distinction between the internally displaced people and the refugees, and especially when they mentioned the demographic changes and that is taking place in Syria and different parts of the country. Also, across the groups, one of the things that the women, one of the many things that women really agreed on is that return is a right for everyone. For every single refugee, for every internally displaced is a return. No one said that Syrians from this region should not go back to their areas of origin. So this consensus among the Syrian women also gave us the not only the impression but actually highlighted this comprehensiveness in their approach, because even when they were addressing the safe, voluntary, and dignified return, they were thinking about women and people from other regions. So they weren't only addressing their own concerns and their own demands and their own priorities, but also they were trying to be more comprehensive because they wanted to have to achieve sustainable peace in Syria. And that would not go without thinking about a comprehensive plan in Syria. They also agreed, I mean, whether in the regime controlled areas or the opposition or outside the regime controlled areas and in the neighboring country, that we had one group there. All of them agreed that the only solution is in Syria is the political settlements. And that was also something that they did agreed on in order to achieve sustainable peace. The only way is to have this political settlement that would lead also to sustainable transitional settlements in Syria. And this is how they see the country, and they don't want any military action or any violence that would take place. And this was also something that we discussed with them. The other thing also that they addressed, as I said, and as Wijdan was saying, like this innate and organic political awareness and feminist awareness that they, every single time they were really addressing their demands, and they were seeing how they would see this safe, voluntary, and dignified return. It's not from the international community perspective, but from their own perspective, addressing challenges that no one would think about. For example, they were telling us about some of the documentations, because in some of the regions in Syria, the regime would not recognize some of the documentation, registry, certificates. So this is a problem for them, and no one would. I mean, coming from the international community, they would not think about those details, but the women were very able to, and it's very short. I mean, I really would like to have this interactive Q&A afterwards so we can answer the questions more. But this, as I said, was very, very inspiring. We learned a lot from them. And yes, as Syrian women, they were politically active, even if they weren't aware that what they are doing is political, because their daily struggle is a political act, and their daily survival is a political act. And thank you.
الورقة الثالثة اللي اشتغلنا عليها هي ورقة إعادة الأمار. قبل ما بدي أحكي عن ورقة إعادة الأمار بدي أحكي إنه هدول النساء اللي كانوا على كامل التراب الأرض السورية وبمختلف المناطق وأيضاً في أحد بلدان اللجوء كان في تقاطعات كتير كتير كبيرة بيناتهم، وكانوا كلياتهم عم بيفكروا بكل التراب السوري بكل الوطن السوري، ما حدا فيهم كان عم يفكر بس بحاله. فلما كنا عم نناقش نحن وياهم موضوع إعادة الأعمار، كان في فروقات واضحة بموضوع إعادة الأعمار ما بين المناطق اللي تحت سيطرة النظام، معاناتهم تحت سيطرة النظام، معاناة الناس اللي خارج سيطرة النظام بما يخص ورقة إعادة الأعمار.
When we talk about the I'm here to tell you about the third paper we're launching today, which is related to the theme of reconstruction and the future of Syria. But before I start telling you about the findings of these consultations and what would you read in the paper, I just want to say to you that we talk to women from across the areas, all of Syria, inside Syria, under regime and outside the regime, and one in a neighboring country, in the refugee hosting countries. And there's a lot of in common between the women, more than we thought we would end up with. They all emphasize that they thinking of the situation for the women all across the Syrian homeland, not in their own. They're not just concerned with the situation in their region in their area, but they're concerned for the situation when it comes to reconstruction, the questions facing the issue of reconstructions on all of the Syrian homeland. Yet the difficulties and the suffering these women are facing when it comes to questions of reconstruction is a bit different between these areas.
مثلا رح احكي انه النساء اللي كانوا تحت مناطق النظام كانت الصعوبة الأساسية بالنسبة لهم بقضية إعادة الأعمار إنه النظام السوري عم يستغل إعادة الأعمار بفرض ضرائب جديدة على الشعب السوري تبتدئ من إذا الواحد بيعمل أصغر معاملة بالدولة وعم يستغل أيضا موضوع إعادة الأعمار لاستثمارات هي حقيقة لا تخدم الشعب السوري وليس لها علاقة فعلية بإعادة الأعمار. هاي النقطة حكوا عنها النساء اللي هن تحت سيطرة النظام، لكن أيضا حكوا عنها النساء اللي هن في مناطق خارج سيطرة النظام لأنه هن سمعانين من أهاليهم اللي بقيوا هناك عن الموضوع.
So I'm going to start talking about the challenges when it comes to the question of reconstruction and in the future of Syria, the challenges the women living in regime-controlled area at the moment in Syria, they said that they're facing. Their regime is using the question of reconstruction to impose new taxes and on the Syrian people. That is making it the cost is becoming too much to bear. The small the simplest of paperwork is too costly right now under this new taxation system. The other issue that they talked about is that it's the question of reconstruction is being used and utilized by the Syrian regime to launch new investments that are not in the service of the Syrian people, as these women put it. It's not reconstruction for housing of the displaced and the refugees, basically, or not oriented towards that. The woman talked about the woman who took under the regime or in the regime control area talked about it, but also it was a pertinent issue for the woman who lives in position control or a position held area because their families who are still inside Syria under the regime or under the regime they are facing these issues.
إعادة الأعمار بالنسبة للنظام السوري هي كانت مسألة استثمارات يستفيد منها هو وحلقته الضيقة لزيادة الثراء، وبحجة إعادة الأعمار هو عم يبني مولات، هو ما عم بيعيد إعمار حقيقي للمناطق المتضررة. هاي واحدة من النقاط اللي كتير ركزوا عليها النساء، واللي هي عدم العدالة في إعادة الأعمار، واللي هذا رح يزيد الشرخ في المجتمع السوري، إنه لما بده يكون إعادة الأعمار هو استغلال لأنه تحسين وضع اللي ما ضرروا من الحرب، بينما اللي ضرروا فعليا من الحرب رح يضلوا متضررين أكتر وأكتر وما رح يستفيدوا من إعادة الأعمار، فرح هذا يزيد الشرخ في المجتمع السوري. وهذا الموضوع ركزوا عليه كل النساء اللي نحن حكينا معهم.
When it comes to the question of reconstruction, the women thought that the Syrian regime blueprint presented at the moment of it is more oriented around investments and that would benefit the regime and its top-ranking officials more than the actual internally displaced people who need housing because their areas are destroyed. What's being suggested right now will include building a lot of shopping malls and fancy housings that is not, according to these women, the real needed reconstruction that would allow housing. It only would re-emphasize the injustices suffered already by these women and by their families, and would deepen the divide in the Syrian society because, as they see it, it would improve the situation. The blueprint of the construction as put forward by the Syrian regime at the moment would improve the situation for those who have not lost much out of this war, would still have their assets, while those who actually lost and ended up being displaced will lose far more, stand to lose far more.
النقطة الثانية اللي كانت حول إعادة الأعمار هي القصة هي سوري النقطة الثانية كانت حول مسألة إعادة الأعمار هو الفرق بين الظرف بين اثنين. النساء في إدلب مثلا وفي المناطق اللي خارج سيطرة النظام هي كانت مناطق فعلا تعاني من يعني شيء أكتر من أنه هي بحاجة تنتظر إعادة الأعمار. لا، في مسألة هي قصة التعافي المبكر اللي هي بحاجة مياه نظيفة، بحاجة مشافي، بحاجة تعليم. أيضا النساء كلهم على كامل التراب الأرض السورية كانوا عم بيقولوا أنه في انتظار إعادة الأعمار التي سيأتي مستقبلا، هناك نقاط إلى علاقة بتعافي مبكر لبعض المناطق اللي كتير هي متضررة، مثل مياه نظيفة ومثل تعليم مثل صحة، هاي يجب التفكير فيها حاليا وعدم تأجيلها.
And then again, when especially for areas that are outside the regime, the control of the Syrian regime, and like Idlib, the most important question the women raised in these areas was related to recovery, early recovery. So before we talk about reconstruction and in waiting of the possible reconstruction after the war ends, right now they need to tackle issues of providing services, clean water, education, hospitals, functioning hospitals, and these are important issues that need to be tackled now without any delays. We can't wait for the reconstruction to start to deal with these issues.
لكن وهن عم بيطالبوا فيها الآن، كان عم بيطالبوا أيضا بأنه هذه يعني هذا التعافي المبكر يتم حمايته، وبالتالي يجب وقف الحرب حتى لا يعود الضرر مرة أخرى مثل ما عم بيصير الآن. خرجت كل المشافي بإدلب الآن مثلا، أو أغلبها خرجت خارج العمل.
And the point they mentioned is that if you in a lobby for providing of services and an early recovery of the community, that needs to go hand in hand with lobbying for an end of the war and pushing for an end of the war, because the war would mean the damage would recur again, would be recurrent again and again, and these services that would be provided would only be damaged again. For example, the recent escalation of violence in Idlib meant that now a lot of the hospitals there and the governor are not functional.
النقطة الأخيرة اللي حاب يحكي فيها حول إعادة الأعمار هي مسألة أنه النظام السوري يستغل إعادة الأعمار من أجل إعادة تأهيل نفسه. كل النساء على كامل التراب الأرض السورية ربطوا إعادة الأعمار بحل السياسي الشامل، وهن كلياتهم بيشوفوا أنه يجب أن لا تبدأ إعادة إعمار في سوريا قبل الوصول إلى حل سياسي شامل يحقق عدالة وديمقراطية لسوريا.
The last point that the woman talked about, the last point the woman talked about is that they see that the Syrian regime is using the question of reconstruction as a rehabilitating point for its credential later, and that they see that their need to be an intertwining of reconstruction and the beginning of reconstruction with a political solution. That the reconstruction should not start without the establishment of justice and democracy for the Syrian society and an end of the conflict.
قبل ما أنهي بدي أحكي لكم قصة صغيرة صارت معنا. 26 أيار كنا سكايب، كنا نحن ثلاثة ومعنا كمان بعض زميلاتنا، كنا سكايب مع معارة النعمان الساعة حوالي 11 الصباح بتوقيت دمشق، وكنا عم نناقش نحن وياهم، كنا مخلصين وراءنا بس النساء أصروا أنه يتابعوا الحوارات معنا، ونحن عم نعمل حوارات سياسية معهم الآن للنساء حول كتير مفاهيم سياسية. فكنا عم نناقش نحن وياهم الحل السياسي. بهاي اللحظة بتوقع قنبلة على سوق معرة النعمان قبل العيد بكم يوم، الأولاد طالعين يتسوقوا للعيد. النساء كانوا كنا نحن عم نشوفهم فيديو، فالنساء كانوا قدامنا على الفيديو ومعهم أطفالهم، في منهم رضع، في منهم معهم أطفال رضع، جايين يحضروا جلسات حوار سياسي مع أطفالهم الرضع. فبتوقع القنبلة، بيقوموا كلهم بوقفوا وهن حاملين أولادهم وبيحملوا تليفوناتهم كلياتهم، ببلشوا يتصلوا لحتى يطمنوا على أهاليهم. تمرق دقايق وبيرجعوا بدهم يكملوا. أنا بهاي اللحظة أنا اللي قاعدة برا بألمانيا نهرت. هن كانوا كتير متمالكات وكتير قوايا، رجعوا قالوا خلونا نكمل. نحن كنا عم نناقش الحل السياسي في سوريا بهذه اللحظة وأهمية الحل السياسي في سوريا، بيرجع بيقولوا خلونا نكمل. نقول لهم روحوا على البيت، لا لا الحوار ممتع خلونا نكمل، روحوا على البيت. فإني بيقولوا لا خلونا نكمل. أنا برأيي هدول النساء الشجاعات يجب أن يكونوا دائما في المقدمة، يجب أبدا أنه ما نسمح حدا يرجعهم لورا، يجب أن يكونوا دائما إلهم صوت، ويجب أن يكونوا دائما صوتا مسموع. ولهيك نحن كحركة سياسية نسوية حريصين أن نوصل صوتهم.
I want to share an experience now with you of our consultations. On the 26th of May, the three of us sat on this panel presenting these findings for you. We're on a Skype meeting with a small town in Idlib province called Maret and Aman. And it's in the areas that has witnessed the escalation of the recent escalation. We have finished our 4 hours consultation with a woman, but they insisted. They said that the debate is very interesting, and we want to continue. We want to talk to you more. I just want to mention out that these are women who had brought their babies. Some of them had their children, some of them had their babies, so they can actually participate in this debate and be part of it. And we are 3 days before the Eid, the Islamic festival. The Muslims celebrate. People shop prior to the Eid. Families go and prepare shopping. The markets would be very busy and beaming. And we're on video. We're watching as these mothers are sitting debating with us, and we can see the children. And suddenly, a massive boom goes on, and the main market of the town has been hit with aerial bombardment. We see these women; they suddenly start jumping. There's a lot of movement, a lot of motion going on. I am sat in Germany, in the safety in Germany, and I completely collapsed. Just witnessing all of this, I completely collapsed. But they were more together than any of us were. And they just wanted to make sure that their families were fine. So they're just making phone calls, making sure that everyone is alive. And then we said to them, that's it, go home. We were at that moment, I'd like to tell you, we're sat discussing the political solution, the importance of the political solution and for Syria. And they said, no, let's continue. It's life as it happens here. These are the brave women who we consulted, and these are the brave women that we believe their voices need to continue to be heard. And that is why we think nobody should be allowed to marginalize these women. And our work is to document their voices, basically.
Okay, thank you so much. I have some comments to make, and I will make them at the very end so that I don't steal the floor from anybody else and the discussion. So I think we, if you don't mind, I think we open up to questions right away so we can have a conversation. Okay, maybe if I can, I'll take a couple of questions at a time, and then we can respond to multiple questions. Unless you're going to ask a really complicated, long question, which I would discourage you from. But please, would anybody like to start? Mm-hmm. Yes, please. Yep.
Thanks. Thank you so much for your presentations. I had a question about accountability and justice, whether there seems to be a huge interest from the community within this. What does the community expect or understand of justice, and how long will this process take?
Did you want to ask your question? And then we'll have a response.
I'm sorry if I missed this, but I just wanted to ask how the women were selected and how, like, you get women across different, perhaps, socioeconomic backgrounds within. I mean, I know it's very limited already, but how do you try to be all encompassing?
معايير السوسيولوجية والاقتصادية للخيارات من بين كل شيء. Hi. Hi. Can you? Is this working? Talk loudly. Okay. Hi. My name's Amira Sawas, and my family are from Syria. So, firstly, I wanted to say thank you for everything that you're doing because it really means a lot. And secondly, I wanted to know what your thoughts are about. There will inevitably be this sort of invasion process of, you know, international organizations trying to get major contracts for the reconstruction process. So what are your thoughts about holding checks and balances to ensure that there's a feminist perspective in there somewhere? And what can we do on the outside? You know, who do we need to be holding account on, you know, on ensuring that the processes are taking into perspective, you know, women's perspectives and their lived experiences? Sorry, that was a bit long and complex.
Okay.
I need to.
Yep.
Yeah, because yeah. Problem with coordination of yes. questions.
Did you get that last question?
But she wants a translation of it.
So go.
ما هي مفهوم الشعب السوري العدالة وكيف بيشوفوا رؤيته شو هي رؤيتهم شو ما طالبوا ما يعني شو هم كيف بيفهموا العدالة شو رأيهم طالبوا تحديدا هلا النساء اللي حكيت معهم
بما يخص العدالة الشعب السوري كله الآن يحتاج لتحقيق العدالة من كل الأطراف اللي أجرمت بحق الشعب السوري النساء كانوا بهذا الموضوع كتير واضحات لا ما كانوا أبدا عم بيدافعوا عن طرف ضد طرف كانوا عم بيقولوا نحنا بدنا يعني حقنا من الجميع من كل من أجرم من كل من قتل من كل من اعتقل من كل من عذب من كل من هجر من كل من أي حدا عمل شيء تهجير وتغيير ديموغرافي من حرمان الحقوق مثلا القوانين اللي عم تصدر الآن لمصادرة الأملاك بسبب الرأي السياسي مثل قانون 10 العدالة مسار كتير 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 طويل ويعني نحن والنساء نعتقد أنه لا استقرار لحل سياسي في سوريا بدون عدالة.
Concerning the question about justice, all of the Syrian people need justice at the moment, and women across the spectrum, the women we talked to were very clear in their message about it. We want try to help us identify ways of having accountability for all the warring sides. They did not defend one side over the other, or they were not partisan to one side over the other. They said, we want our right. We want to hold all warring sides accountable, and we want our right and justice from anybody who has committed crimes, arrested people, forced people to flee their homes because of this war, or influenced demographic changes and forced people to flee their areas as it moved into it, basically. They also talked about the fact that they need protection or justice against the newly issued laws that is being used as a pretext. These laws are being used as a pretext to confiscate the properties of people who are supportive of the opposition. So this is specifically, and this is an interpreter note here, basically, there was in 2018, law number 10 regarding reconstruction has been issued. And according to the law, if you can't prove ownership of the if you can't prove ownership within a specific time frame, it gets confiscated. It's taken by the state, and a lot of people criticize that refugees can't prove that. That's what the law she's referring to. So they want justice against the laws that is being used to confiscate the properties of the opposition, supportive of the opposition, and all of these women across the divide said there is no stability without political solution. They emphasized the solution is political and no stability
or sustainable peace in Syria without political solution?
لا بالنسبة للسؤال الثاني حول كيف اخترنا النساء يعني ما فيني نقول نحن اخترناهم لأنه عمليا هاي الجلسات أو هذا النشاط اللي قمنا فيه بيعتمد على فعلا رغبة عند السيدات أن يكونوا موجودين. يعني من الصعب جدا أنه حدا ما بيرغب يحكي بالسياسي يقعد 4-5 ساعات يناقش بموضوع سياسي، فبالتالي أكيد كان الشرط هو الرغبة. الشغل الثاني فعلا عند النساء السوريات يعني مثل ما قلنا انه نحن 8 سنوات من المعاناة وثمان سنوات يعني مو فقط فينا نختصرها بالمعاناة لانه معظم النساء نحن اللي اخترنا اللي تعاون يعني بمعنى نشاط عملنا معهم هذا النشاط هن نساء راكموا خبرة بمنظمات المجتمع المدني، نساء كانوا موجودات مثلا بالمجالس المحلية، نساء تواقين انه فعلا هن يشاركوا بالسياسي، وفي نساء كمان يعني في بين المجموعات في نساء هن ما عملوا ابدا بالسياسي، هن امتلكوا وعي فطري. في نساء كانوا غير متعلمات، كانت عندنا بالجلسات في نساء تراوح عمارهم، في صبايا قالوا لنا انه لما بلشت الثوره انطلقت ثوره بسوريا كانوا طفلات ب 12 و13 سنه، وهن يعني كتير بيشوفوا حالهم محظوظين انه نحن بنقدر نناقش سياسي، لانه في منهم اذا بتعرفوا بسوريا انه في اجيال سبقتهم فعلا كان في عنا خرس سياسي، ما كنا ابدا نقدر بمعنى نكون عنا الفرصه انه نناقش سياسي. طبعا بعود الفضل للثوره دائما نحن بنقول حتى لو شو ما كان نحن في شيء يعني الثورة علمتنا إياه وحصلنا قدرنا إنه نحنا رغم كل شيء رغم فعلا إنه شيء يعني محزن إنه نحكي عن هذا الكم الكبير من الضرائب اللي دفعناها، بس فعلا نساء السوريات راكموا خبرة. بالمجموعات في نساء فعلا هني غير متعلمات، في حقوقيات، في طبيبات، في وكمان إضافة إنه يعني كنا حريصين نكون الجيل الشاب ممثل بهاي الجلسات، بس بكل الأحوال نحن من خلال زميلاتنا اللي هن عضوات الحركة بالداخل السوري نحن يعني قدرنا نعمل هاي الجلسات، ولولاهم كان فعلا من الصعب إنه نكون هذا العمل بهاي الطريقة.
Okay. And the question of how we chose the woman who participated in this consultation, we haven't chosen them; they've chosen us. Really, you have. I told you that some of the sessions had 4 hours; it was 4 hours long. You have to have the commitment. So the first condition we said for anybody who would want to join these sessions were that you have the desire to participate and the commitment to do so. The other factor we would take into consideration, bear in mind I told you there has been 8 years of suffering because of this war. A lot of women are now involved and active in civil society organization working on the ground, on local councils representing their towns basically. So and a lot of these women are eager for a higher political participation. They were welcomed into our consultation sessions. And we also welcomed women who were not politically active in their towns, but they have this innate awareness of what their feminist rights are. Some of them were not educated, but active within their local communities, maybe, even if not politically active, but active as part of their communities. Some we also try to involve the younger generation. Some of the participants said to us that by 2011, when the Syrian uprising started, we were 13 years old. We were but kids, and now we're participating in political debates about the future of Syria. And we feel very lucky, despite all the losses this war has brought on us as women. We feel very lucky that we have a voice and it's being heard, because prior to 2011, there was a curtain preventing anybody participating in political debate.
we were on a politically mute setting for the whole Syrian society, basically. And I would say that we owe it to the revolution that it give us our voices back as women. It is sad how much that we how big the losses we incurred as well to gain this voice. To just wrap up, who are the other women who participated? Lawyers and doctors, front workers in these communities as well, were participated. And how did we find all these participants? Members of our few of our members of our movement who are resident inside Syria, elected and found or nominated and elected the participant in these sessions, basically.
بما يخص العقود وإعادة الأعمار ومسألة كيف يمكن حماية حقوق النساء بهذا الموضوع وخصوصا إذا دخلت شركات كبيرة دولية وعابرة للقارات سواء فيما بعد إذا صار حل سياسي شامل وكانت هاي الشركات من كل المجتمع الدولي من كل الدول أو سواء الآن بما يعمله النظام بشركات صينية وإيرانية وروسية النساء بورقة إعادة الأعمار إذا بتشوفوا قدموا فكرة حول كيف ممكن هن تحمى حقوقهم يعني قدموا كتير مواضيع لوجودهم في إعادة الأعمار منا على سبيل المثال أنه إدخالهم كنساء في عملية إعادة الأعمار والاستفادة من قدراتهم منا على سبيل المثال تغيير القوانين بحيث ضمان حقوقهم وملكيتهم على سبيل المثال في حال إذا كان الزوج مختفي معتقل ما بتعرفوا إذا ميت ولا عايش أو إذا كان الزوج متوفي فنحن عنا قانون إرث لا يضمن حقوق النساء على هذا الصعيد قدموا كمان يعني توصيات على أنه تؤخذ حقوقهم واحدة من القصص اللي كتير كانت حلوة عند النساء إنه معلش وهن مسلمات ومؤمنات بقانون الإرث الإسلامي إنه أي معلش خلوا قانون الإرث كله مثل ما هو بس المسكن المنزل اللي عايشين فيه فهو ملكية للأسرة وبضل للي بقيان فإذا مات الزوج بضل للزوجة وأطفاله وإذا ماتت هي بضل إله ولأطفاله فهي واحدة من القضايا يعني اللي كتير حاولوا يلاقوا حل ينسجموا مع فكرهم بالأساس ورغم هيك يوجدوا حل إبداعي لإشكالية حقوقهم كنساء بموضوع إعادة الأعمار الأوراق اللي بين إيديكم اليوم هي ملخص لكن ممكن الاطلاع على الأوراق الكاملة خلال شهر على موقعنا وممكن تقروا كل اللي قدموا النساء كآراء وأفكار
So regarding the question of reconstruction, to the lady there about the question of reconstruction and the contracts and in the future and how to enshrine protection of women rights, especially if you get multinational cooperation, that to start with depends on what kind of political solution or what kind of solution, how does the war end and what kind of political solution we reach in Syria. Whether there's an overall political solution that means all international community participate in the reconstruction process of Syria, or whether we continue with the current situation where the regime is winning and the reconstruction will be done by Chinese, Iranian or Russian companies and stakeholders. In both cases, women discussed how can they protect their rights. And we reached two recommendations. One is to incorporate women into the working force and the driving force behind the reconstruction, use their expertise and give them space to participate. The second important question they raised is changing the laws to protect
women rights and gender equality. For example, I'm going to give you a very specific example when it comes to this issue, a question of protection of property ownership. Especially if the husband is disappeared, forcibly disappeared as a result of the war, or arrested or detained, the Syrian law regarding the issue of inheritance is derived from Islam. And now, an interpreter note, in women and men don't have equal rights of inheritance, and if a man dies, the wife doesn't necessarily get all of the inheritance, depending on what kids she has. If she doesn't have boys, his extended family do inherit with her, and thus she loses her home. One of the issues that a lot of these women are participating, are practicing Muslims. They are believers. They believe in Islam as a doctrine, and they're not calling for a secular laws. But what they're saying is that they need to work the current laws in ways that would protect, for example. They were very creative in finding solutions that bring a change without challenging their faith. They said, for example, consider that the house is for the family, and say that if the husband passed away, then the woman gets it with the rest of her children, and it's not, for the rest of the inheritance, it can be divided according to Islamic Sharia, but just for the house, at least, for her to be protected with her kids, the house goes to the woman when the husband dies, and vice versa, if it's the woman who dies, then the husband gets it. That was their creative way of finding a negotiation there. What we're presenting today, what we're launching today, is the summary. The full research and the full consultations are going to be available on our website within a month, and you can read all that we've told you about in there in detail, basically.
Okay, another round of questions, and you first, please.
Yes, thank you very much for the presentation. Thank you very much. I wonder I can... whether Elise has some sort of views about whether feminine perspective is political process, whether it will be hampered by Zionist colony of Israel or Saudi Arabia or Gulf state as such, whether it will be possible for the political process to proceed peacefully as such. And the second point I want to raise is whether there is subscribe to Musawa, the Tunisian gender inequality, whether it will conflict with Syria problem of the Islamic hardline law about the Sharia position as such. So I would like to know the position of the women on the panel.
Do you want to answer these questions?
القانون الإسلامي القصبي اللي هو مبني على الشريعة تحديدا أو مبني على الشريعة هل كيف تعاملوا معه بقضايا حل أساس الإرث وهل هذا حل بالنسبة لكم أنتم كنساء
مرحبا
مرحبا
شكرا أول شيء شكرا وثاني شيء يعطيكم ألف عافية لاختياركم بأنه تقوموا بهي المهمة اللي كتير صعبة شكرا كتير وفي كتير نساء سوريات ما عندهم الجرأة والشجاعة والالتزام يلي انتو عندكم يا فشكرا لكم ولكل الحركة المساهمات بالحركة عندي سؤالين السؤال الأول هو عن النساء بالمناطق اللي هي تحت سيطرة النظام من مقابلاتكم معهم بدي أعرف منكم انطباعكم عن مدى إدراكهم ووعيهم وشعورهم بالنساء بالتحديد يلي هنن خارج بالمناطق اللي بداخل سوريا خارج سيطرة النظام. شو كان انطباعكم عن مستوى الإدراك والوعي لمعاناة النساء السوريات الثانيات؟ والسؤال الثاني هو عن النساء يلي هنن بالمناطق اللي خارج سيطرة النظام، وعن هو معنه سؤال سياسي بس عن علاقتهم مع الأمل، شو شعورهم بالنسبة للأمل؟ رح أترجم. firstly, I would like to say thank you. For the audience, right. For the audience.
Yes,
right?
Please.
Okay. firstly, I would like to say thank you very much, because to the women who are all volunteers in this feminist political movement, because they are taking on such an amazing job that's highly taxing of any Syrian individual to go through, and their level of commitment to this massive cause. Where after all these years, when no one bothered to actually give the space for Syrian women's voices until these amazing women volunteered to do it. So that was my thank you note. And I had two questions. The first question was for women within the areas within Syria under the regime control. What is your impression of their level of awareness and their level of understanding of the suffering of the women who are living in country, in regions, in areas outside the regime control? And the second question is about the women in the areas outside the regime control and their relationship with hope. Thank you.
One more question. Just one more question. I know it's a lot, I'm sorry, but it's the only way we can hear, I think, as many people. So there was somebody on the left side at the back. Maybe you've changed your mind? Go ahead, the stripes.
Yes, just to echo what the previous speaker said, thank you so much for such an interesting presentations. I know that you've got a very packed program while you're here this week, and I wondered if you could share with us what are your asks of the British government?
We're just going to stop there because that's a lot of questions. People squeezed in two questions.
Okay.
يعني أنا آسفة إني أنا أرجع جاوب بس راح يأخذ رفقاتي جواب الأجوبة الثانية. بس السؤال هذا تبع السياسة يعني هذا هواي. فليست فقط السعودية وإسرائيل، للأسف الوضع السوري هو تدخل دولي وأقليمي كامل. روسيا، نحن هلأ بسوريا عندنا 5 احتلالات. عندنا الاحتلال الروسي، الإيراني، الأمريكي الغربي، التركي والإسرائيلي للأسف. وسوريا مقسمة إلى مناطق نفوذ حسب هاي الاحتلالات 5. وإذا لم يكن هناك حل لهدول 5 كلياتهم مع بعضهم، قعدوا مع بعضهم وهنن لقوا حل، فنحن طريقنا طويل وحلنا كتير طويل للأسف إنه نحكي بهذا الموضوع. أملنا إنه ولا واحد فيهم ينتصر، لأنه أي واحد فيهم هو لحاله رح ينتصر رح ياخدنا لمنطقة كتير سيئة. لكن الأفضل بالنسبة إلنا هو لما بنكون بمنطقة بتطرين كلياتهم يجوا عليها، وبالتالي إنه ما روح انتصار سعودي كامل وبالتالي ما انتصروا الإسلاميين، إني ما روح انتصار نظام كامل وبالتالي ما هيمنت إيران، وبالتالي فإسرائيل هي معضلة المنطقة موضوع آخر. لكن الحل السياسي الشامل اللي هو ممكن يخدم الشعب السوري هو الديمقراطية والتعددية ودولة المواطنة الكاملة لكل المواطنين، لأنه نحن عنا شعب سوري متعدد الطوائف والأعراق. فإذا لم نحقق دولة مواطنة بحقوق مواطنة كاملة للكل لنصل إلى حل سياسي شامل، وهذا يعني أملنا نحن يعني أنه نوصل، وهذا ما نؤمن فيه. بما يخص موضوع طيب ترجمي بعدين بحكي على موضوع القوانين وتونس. لا هو سأل سؤالي فأنا بجاوب
عليه. أوكي. بس عشان توصل النقطة يعني دلو. Regarding your questions about the Israeli intervention in Syria and the role of the Saudi Arabia as well, and how could we reach a negotiated settlement if they continue to intervene, I would like to say to you that Syria is a space where regional powers and international powers are at play and intervening in the country, and at the moment the word used, we are suffering the presence of five occupation forces on the ground that are not for them as women, that not they are identified as occupation forces. Yes, the American Western, spearheaded by the American, are on the ground, but also and the Israelis in the south are intervening there as well. But you also have got the Turks in north of Syria. You've got the Russian in other parts of Syria, and you've got the Iranians also working in Syria at the moment. So if there is no solution where all five continue to stop intervening in Syria, Syria will not survive, or actually Syria will not recover fully. That's the word, not survive, to recover fully. Our hope as women working in trying to bring in a political solution is neither of these intervening sides win. Neither of the strategies they're trying to implement in Syria prevail. Because if one of them win, we lose. We stand as a group of women, she says, we stand to lose because it takes us to a control zone, to be a control zone for one of them or the other. The best for us is all these different strategies that are competing on the Syrian ground, they all lose altogether. A full Saudi... as you asked about the Saudi intervention, if their strategy on the ground win, it means the Islamists conquer Syria. But also, the complete victory of the regime would mean a continuous Iranian infiltration of the state, basically. Concerning the question of Israel, it's the dilemma of the whole region. They just also need to stop meddling in the whole region, not just in Syria. What we want is a democratic, plural state. That is our hope, and that's the only way we see a way forward. We believe that the Syrian people is multiple. We have different ethnicity, different backgrounds, different groups, and we believe that the only solution, and we have to reiterate it now and forever, for always, is equal active citizenship for all and every citizen, Syrian citizen, basically. That's the only solution as we see it. Neither of the intervening powers would give us that.
بما يخص موضوع القوانين, تونس الحقيقة متقدمة عن كل الدول العربية بحل إشكالية القانون العادل نسبيا للنساء والمتصالح نسبيا مع تفسيرات الشريعة الإسلامية, لأنه هي واحدة من النقاشات اللي تناقشناها نحن والبنات, إنه هل ما يطبق هي الشريعة الإسلامية الحقيقية ولا هو أحد تأويلاتها وتفسيراتها, وهذا بحث طويل هلأ ما رح نفوت فيه, لكن كل النساء كان برأيهم إنه هي أحد تفسيراتها وتأويلاتها وليست هي بالضرورة الفهم الحقيقي لها. يعني مثل مسألة الإرث, إذا لم يكن لهما ولد فهل الولد ذكر ولا أنثى مثلا, ما مكتوب بالقرآن بس القانون بيفسرها ذكر مثلا. فالتونس فعلا متقدمة, ونحن بنتمنى بسوريا أنه نقدر نحقق اللي حققوه نساء تونس, وتحية إله.
Concerning your other question about the
Sharia and gender equality
and Tunis as an example, and whether they would like to adopt something similar in the Syrian movement for feminist and gender equality. Tunis is the situation on the ground is that Tunis is far ahead of all the other Arab states, and what they managed to achieve so far is how they developed and a feminist and gender equality, and the feminist perspective of gender equality, is that they brought about laws that are relatively just for women,
but also not in total contradiction with the Islamic interpretation that is that makes some sort of sense of cohesion in the society and move women's rights forward. That's one of the questions we asked, for, by the way, in our consultation groups, is that do the Syrian women see that what's being implemented, especially concerning law, personal status law and other laws, is that the actual Sharia or is that the interpretation, one of the interpretation of Sharia? And they all agreed it's specific interpretation of Sharia. Some other interpretation might be more tolerant or more protective of their rights. For example, I'm just going to give a very specific example here to see what are the issues we're talking about. The Quran, when it comes to the question of inheritance, which is what she touched on earlier, that if the man passes away and he doesn't have a male child, a male heir, then all the inheritance goes to the children, the female children, the mother, and the extended families. So the nephews who are boys would inherit, and the brothers. So that's the law as it stands. But it's actually, no, this is quite dangerous territory. I'm attempting to translate Quran. I wish I wouldn't force. I wasn't forced to do this. But in لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُمَا وَلَدٌ, the Quranic verse is if they haven't a child. The interpretation of this line in Sharia is a child means a boy. But this is debatable at the moment. And that's what the woman we consulted with see as a way to start incorporating the Tunisian style of moving forward in protecting women rights by bringing about better interpretation of Sharia. So.
بالنسبة للسؤال الثاني عن النساء اللي مناطق اللي تحت سيطرة النظام ممكن أحكي أمثلة أنا شوي بحب أحكي قصص نحن كنا مثلا عم نناقش التعافي المبكر لما كنا عم نقول يعني كل المجموعات فعلا أنه نحن ما بدنا إعادة إعمار في الوقت الحالي ولا بدنا ملايين الدولارات مليارات الدولارات عمليا توصل للنظام لأنه نحن غير واثقين النظام النساء اللي خارج سيطرة النظام واللي مناطق تحت سيطرة النظام فعلا كان عندهم رأي مشترك لأنه هني جربوا يعني حتى قبل قيام الثورة النظام كان يعني يهدم العشوائيات ويبني بدل ما يعني الناس يعمر لأبنية مثل بكتير مناطق ناح مزارع بساتين الرازي وغيرها بدمشق والمزي وغيرها هو كان يبني مناطق يبني منشآت سياحية وشيء يعني وما يأخذ بعين الاعتبار أبدا حقوق الناس فالنساء تحت سيطرة النظام ولا كانوا خارج هني ليس لهم أبدا ثقة بهذا النظام وهني أيضا بيعرفوا تماما ومتأكدين من حقيقة فساده لهذا النظام وفساده اللي هو ضاعف عشرات وممكن نقول مئات المرات على الحالة اللي كان عليها بال 2011 بس بلشنا مشان ما نقول انه نحنا يعني لازم انه في شيء ينعاد بناءه اللي هي البنى التحتية فسألنا طرحنا سؤال حول التعافي المبكر انه المناطق اللي تدمرت هل ممكن انه نقبل انه فعلا تجي مساعدات مالية لدعمها على الاقل لبناء البنى التحتية يعني واعادة الخدمات مثل المياه والكهرباء والمشافي والمدارس اللي المناطق اللي خارج سيطرة النظام يعني المناطق المدمرة نساء قالوا انه احنا منخاف كتير انه هاي يعني اذا صار هيك شيء فعلا يصير فيها يعني تحسين لصورة النظام او انه يعني نحنا يعني تتحول مواضيع خاصة المصالحات وتتاخذ بشكل انه عالميا تتحسن صورة النظام ونحن يعني دائما في خوف من انه اي شيء دولي بيصير اي حل فعلا نحنا بمعنى انه يعوم النظام من جديد تماما إعادة تعويم النظام بالمناطق اللي خارج اللي تحت سيطرة النظام لما سألنا عن التعافي المبكر وهي فعلا مناطق أبدا لم تدمر ولم يسقط فيها بمعنى أني تأثروا من حالة الحرب بالمعنى الاقتصادي ولكن هم ما أبدا ما تدمرت مناطق ولا هاي الجواب اللي جاوبوه أنه نحن ما بنقدر نجاوب على هذا السؤال اسألوا النساء اللي بمناطق اللي تدمرت هن اللي بيجاوبوا عليه. هذا من العدل انه نحن نسكت مشان هن يجاوبوا. فيك ترجمي
اوكي
مشان رح كفي بس.
Concerning the second question about the women in the regime-controlled area and how, what are their vision of women or understanding and what empathy do they have on women living outside or in refugee countries, I'm going to answer you through telling you a story. I find that telling stories is very powerful medium of communicating the reality on the ground. When we were discussing the issue of early recovery, so this is the question. Obviously, we're not talking about reconstruction. Reconstruction is a very politically political point at the point at the moment. We're not asking for millions or billions. We actually do not want, whether our participant, the woman inside the regime areas and outside the regime areas, we do not want reconstruction at the moment, because we don't have a trust that this, at the moment the Syrian regime is winning the war, and this would be used as a medium for them to reassert their power, and it would be used as a question. Basically, we don't have trust in the history of the regime. It's corrupt. Let's just go one point back. The regime has been corrupt prior to 2011, and they don't trust the Syrian regime to implement reconstruction if the funds is given to it. And now, when we stop talking about reconstruction, we ask the question about prior to reconstruction, we're talking about early recovery. So that means re-establishing services in the areas that has been hit by the war. So we're talking electricity, water, basic services, electricity, water, hospitals, schools, just at that level, not like full reconstruction. And when we asked, that the woman said, we worry the women inside the regime, under regime-controlled areas, because there are areas that has been very actively contested. The war arrived there, and then the regime retook it. So these are, they do suffer massive destruction of these areas. And the woman said, in these areas that has been retaken by the regime, they said, we worry about even early recovery in this case. To be, we want it, but we want to make sure that it's not used to improve the image of the regime as a political actor, meaning that it's not it shouldn't be used as a mean to rehabilitate the Syrian regime politically. Basically, when you provide for early recovery, make sure that it's not used for political rehabilitation of the Syrian regime. That is what the woman said. The other point is, when we asked the woman under the regime control about areas outside the regime control and what aid they would ask for, or how they feel about aid provided for early recovery in the opposition and control area, they said it's not just for us to answer that question. What they're going through means that they should be answering that question themselves.
ومع هيك من أجل أنه لازم نحن نكون واقعيين ومن الواقعية أنه نحن نواجه الحقائق ونحكيها مثل ما هي. ونحن والنساء داخل سوريا فعلا حكينا, كانت فرصة لنا نحكي الحقائق مثل ما هي. العقد الاجتماعي بسوريا ليس بخير أبدا, والمناطق السورية فعلا مقطعة الأوصال, ويعني المجتمع السوري فعلا هو اللي بحاجة لإعادة بناء. يعني ما منقول reconstruction مو بس البناء, وهي المجتمع السوري هو اللي بحاجة للبناء, وهي كمان أجمعنا عليه نحن والنساء اللي بالداخل. الحرب اللي في خلت فئة كبيرة, يعني هي تعتبر غالبية الشعب السوري, تحس بعدم العدالة وبعدم الإنصاف, إنه في فئة معينة كانت عم يستهدفها الظلم والقهر وكذا. وبالمقابل كان النظام استخدم, تعرفوا, سلاح الطائفية وحماية الأقليات وما إلى هنالك. يعني النساء بالتأكيد إنه نحنا عملنا إنه مجموعات مع نساء هو أسهل بكتير من إنه نقوم بهذا العمل مع رجال أو شرائح تانية من المجتمع, لأنه الإحساس النساء في عندهم إحساس فطري بالعدالة. هيك أنا بأمن, يعني أنا كنسوية هيك بأمن. بغض النظر عن كل شيء, يعني نحنا أكيد قدامنا, نحنا السوريين عمل كثير كبير للمستقبل مشان على الأقل إعادة يعني نسج علاقاتنا وإعادة صياغة العقد الاجتماعي من جديد وإعادة الثقة. وطبعا هذا بيبدأ أولا بالخلاص من هذا النظام وفعلا انتقال إلى دولة مواطني فعلا بدستور تعددي وديمقراطي. وأيضا أنه نحن فعلا كمان بدعم من أصدقائنا ومن كل من كل شيء نحن بحاجة لدعم على كافة المستويات. هون ممكن بعد شوية ننتقل للسؤال اللي راح تحكيه اللي راح تجاوب عليه خلود. تفضل.
We have to be realistic and we have to we have to be honest about the truth and say we have the courage to admit that the reality on the ground means the social contract in Syria is not well. This is not just the destruction is not just of buildings and of infrastructure. When we talk about reconstruction, that we mean to say that the Syrian society needs reconstruction effort as well, and that's what we tried to address the in our consultation sessions with these women. The war meant that a large segment of the Syrian society feels grave injustices. They feel that they have been targeted in this war. This is the towns and that has been destroyed by this war. They also feel that the regime employed every possible weapon in their hand to increase the weaponizing of questions like protection of minorities and stuff like that. That meant that these societies feel even that the injustices they suffered is even griever, bigger for them. Basically, we were lucky to work only with women, because you can reach out to women easier than you reach to men in a war situation. We feel that the women have also an innate sense of justice. But our main task, we all agreed, all the women participants, we agreed that one of our main tasks is renegotiating the social contract for all Syrian citizens, basically, where those senses, feelings of injustices are dealt with. A lot of us in the movement and in this consultation agreed that the political transition is the first move towards that renegotiating of a social contract, to move into a constitution, to establish a constitution that is truly democratic, truly pluralistic. That would be the first step. And we need support, all possible kind of support, logistic and otherwise, in establishing that. And now to my colleague who's going to talk about the last point.
Yeah, thank you very much. Answering the question on the demands from the British government, we actually had a set of demands basically to support the Syrian women and to support them in actually achieving 30% representation at all the decision-making and at the negotiation and peace processes. And we also raised the issue of the mobility of the Syrian woman, even for us who are living outside Syria, and how difficult it is to move from one country to another. For example, Wujdan, she only got her visa on Friday at 4 p.m. It was like last minute, really, and we didn't know. We just lost hope that she would get the visa. And this is very important for the Syrian woman to actually be able to move and to reach out to different audiences in different countries. And we also hope that the Syrian women from inside Syria, that they would be able to come actually and to listen to their voices without us, for example, speaking on their behalf. But they have to listen to the women inside Syria, and they have to support that. The second thing is definitely to end the war, and definitely to end targeting civilians and pressuring the Russian to find a solution and also to pressure the Assad regime in order to sit at the negotiation, to bring the Assad regime to sit at the negotiation table, because this definitely has to stop. And in line with that, definitely to continue the humanitarian support, particularly in areas that recently have been heavily bombarded, like Idlib, and especially with the humanitarian crisis in Idlib, and supporting the civil society organizations, and that would be very, very crucial at so many levels. And also, if they want to counter terrorism, so providing the support and not to stop supporting the civil society organizations that were providing those services to civilians, and that would, without this humanitarian support, that there would be a gap that would only be filled by extremism and terrorism if they stop this support. So these were some of the basic demands that we did ask the British government.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm sorry we've run out of time, and I just need to say a few things that I didn't say at the beginning. So I'm stealing your time mainly for thanks. But I did just want to say two quick but I think important things. The first is one of the things that struck me in the documents, and they are actually available at the back, so please pick up a copy of the three policy papers.
They are only executive summary. The full reports would come
A month's time and be available online. But I think these executive summaries have actually quite a lot of information already. So please do pick up a copy. One of the phrases that came out quite a bit in the reports and also in your presentations today is about this innate feminist political sensitivities or sensibility. And I think one of the things that this panel has not acknowledged is their own influence on the political imagination of the women in Syria that they have been talking to. I think they probably have not realized the inspirational aspects of their ideas and in their writings and in their different commentaries. So the second thing I want to say is that really I think in the British context and perhaps in the wider Western context, we can learn a lot about how to develop a feminist political vision, how to take on state authorities, how to unashamedly embrace feminism and a politicized feminism for speaking back against conflict, insecurity, and militarization. So I really personally, professionally, intellectually have learned a lot about what this can look like. So thank you very much for sharing your vision. So the last thing I need to say is that aside from thanking the speakers, I would like to acknowledge colleagues at Gender Action for Peace and Security. Hannah, are you still here? Thanks, Hannah, very much for coordinating this, for putting us in touch with the Syrian Women's Political Movement, and to Katie Guzzi, who is their coordinator, Becca Potten, who's here, who's been doing a lot of the work. Nikki, you've been taking photographs, hopefully. And yes, and I didn't say at the beginning that this is also co-sponsored by the Middle East Center, so I'm sorry to the Middle East Center for not mentioning you at the beginning, but also Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, who have been, who are close friends of the Center for Women, Peace and Security. We've been doing a lot of work with them, so I wanted to acknowledge them, but also acknowledge I am one of the worst chairs in terms of time, but I think it was so, so important. And because of translation, I think we should always add in extra time. So thank you very much for being patient in the audience and waiting. But please join me in thanking these fantastic, courageous speakers. Thank you.